Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX, featuring the March 2025 The Spectrum Monitor. We'll begin by finishing Radio 101 by Ken Reitz, KS4ZR, ks4zr1@gmail.com. Adventures in over-the-air TV. And popular digital sub-channels will be much the same nationwide. Cozy TV, Heroes and Icons, MeTV, Ion Mystery, Laugh, Start TV, Rewind TV, Court TV, Antenna TV, etc. The lineup varies from city to city as to which station carries which sub-channels, so when I scan the nearby cities in each direction, I come up with typically 80-plus channels with many duplicates. If you live near a major metro area, wouldn't be unheard of to get from 100 to 200 channels in a single scan. These digital sub-channels are where former primetime TV dramas and comedy shows go after they've run their course. Is there anything new? Yes, in my latest OTA TV scan, I came across two channels that I hadn't seen before locally, T2 and PBTV. T2 is a free streaming network from Tennis Channel, introduced March 2022, which carries replays of ATP and WTA tennis matches each week, in addition to several tennis-themed shows. PBTV, Pickleball TV, is also from Tennis Channel, and proves that this relatively new sport has become popular enough to warrant a broadcast TV channel, at least in some network executive opinions. I also noted that one digital sub-channel carries a feed of the local NOAA weather radio broadcast, which seems a good use of the technology. I've heard from readers in other locations that other more mainstream sports are finding their way to OTA TV. ATSC 3.0 stations in major metro areas are also broadcasting out-of-market radio stations. So, it seems there's still life in OTA TV. As I wrote in last month's column regarding OTA radio, the use of a simple, cheap Roku stick on your TV turns it into a world-class radio with tens of thousands of global radio stations available at the click of a remote button 24/7. This is a huge advantage for those who don't have or can't afford expensive radios and big outside antennas. The same is true for TV channels, also available on the Roku stick. Dozens of free TV channels running many of the same former primetime TV shows that are seen on OTA TV digital subchannels. I went to my Roku stick and typed in T2 with the remote, and in seconds I was watching the channel that wouldn't lock in on either the Zinwell or the Sony ATSC 3.0 set. I did the same for PBTV, and there it was too. No need for a TV antenna, preamp, ATSC 3.0 tuner, or anything except the $45 Roku streaming stick, a TV with an HDMI slot, and access to the internet. The best argument for the continuation of local TV stations remains coverage of local events. While many stations may eventually rely on artificial intelligence to gather and distribute local news, for now it's still a small team of dedicated journalists running around your area in their brightly colored vehicles, reporting from the scene on topics of weather, crime, consumer affairs, sports, and the inevitable goofy zoo story. But that content doesn't necessarily have to be distributed through OTA TV. Most TV stations have a digital presence online that allows viewers to watch their news and local interest programming on demand, not just through smart TVs, but through mobile devices including e-tablets and smartphones that appear to be getting as large as tablets. That prospect has been one of the promises of ATSC 3.0. Finally, when it comes to watching video, resolution is all important. It used to be that 1080i was considered high-definition TV. ATSC 3.0 hopes to bring 4K Ultra HD resolution across the U.S. via OTA TV. That would make 4K 3,840 by 2,160 pixels, video resolution about four times that of 1080i, 1,920 by 1,080 pixels. Of course, you'll need a screen capable of displaying such resolution, but even so, like HD radio, if you can't receive a strong enough signal to lock in the 4K video, your TV will display the next lowest resolution, 1080i, which is exactly what happens in my location. The 4K video is just a little too weak to lock in, so we miss any of the advantages that might come with ATSC 3.0 in fringe receiving areas. While 1080i looks fine on a good set, in my area, only a few channels are actually broadcast at 1080i. Most of the digital subchannels will be seen at 720 or worse, 480, which I think most people would agree is very poor quality video. To achieve 1080 high definition via streaming video, the bitrate needs to be between 4 and 8 Mbps. To achieve 4K video via streaming requires at least 25 Mbps of bandwidth. Internet service providers, ISPs, charge by bandwidth, with lower bit rates being the cheapest. But lower bandwidth won't display the potential of HDTV, let alone 4K content. And that brings us back to the issue of the future of ATSC 3.0. Is it perhaps too little too late, as far as finding a mass audience is concerned? Has internet technology passed ATSC 3.0 by? Several images accompany this article. The first shows two TV antennas on masts. The caption reads, left, Winnegard HD7694P antenna, $134, may be okay for UHF reception, but if you have VHF stations in your area, forget it. Right, low VHF channels in your area? This may be your only solution, especially if you live in the fringe areas. Winnegard's HD8200U, $206. But it's huge. It weighs 15 pounds, the boom is 14 feet long, and the longest VHF element is 9 feet. And for best results, you may need an antenna preamplifier, $40. Add a rotator and control wire, $100. RG6 coax, $25. And 6 5-foot lengths of mast, $150. And for just $520, you can be watching free OTA TV, courtesy Winnegard. The next image shows a converter box and a remote control next to it. The caption reads, Zinwell ZAT600B Next Gen TV ATSC 3.0 Tuner, $130, down from $150 2 years ago. Includes shipping from either Amazon.com or direct from ChannelMaster. This converter lets you use your older HDTV for watching new ATSC 3.0 programming if there are any in your area, courtesy ChannelMaster. The third image shows an image of a software screen, and it reads, auto channel scan. Channel scan will take a few minutes to complete. Status, scan finished. New channels, 51, total channels, 61. The caption reads, Zinwell ZAT600B Next Gen ATSC 3.0 Tuner, found 51 channels in a scan using the two small element VHF-UHF antennas from Antennas Direct in a stacked array. No antenna preamplifier needed. KS4ZR photo. The next image shows two TV antennas on a mast. One is above the other. The caption reads, Antennas Direct Element VHF-UHF TV Antenna, $70 each, weighs just 2.6 pounds. Stacked, it's 5.2 pounds, roughly one-third the weight of Winnegard's HD8200U. Note that this antenna does not cover FM frequencies. KS4ZR photo. The next image shows various small, loose electronic devices. The caption reads, Inflation has brought antenna preamplifiers such as the Winnegard Boost XT to $52, which claims a maximum gain of 18 dB and 1 dB noise figure, or the Winnegard Boost XT Pro at $100, which claims maximum gain of 20 dB and 1 dB noise figure. There is not $50 worth of difference between the XT and the XT Pro, and they're both susceptible to ambient electrical charges in thunderstorms. Courtesy Winnegard. The final image shows a screenshot, and the caption reads, Zinwell ATSC 3.0 Converters Interactive On-Screen Programming Guide. KS4ZR photo. And now, Amateur Radio Insights by Kirk Kleinschmidt, NT0Z, NT0Z at stealthamateur.com. A new era for RG6? As I get older, I'm starting to see the virtues of standardization. Life is way too complicated, so if we can eliminate unnecessary searching and endlessly comparing one detailed performance spec with another and another and another, standardizing on products or methods that are proven practical and affordable saves valuable time and energy and boosts peace of mind, which is becoming ever more precious. This month's topic centers around coax. And if you're buying new and not scrounging or horse trading, and you don't really know how to judge specs, materials, jackets, manufacturers, reputations, supply chains, flexibility, environmental resistance, etc., and you simply want to buy one great cable that does everything well and requires no further thought, you're in luck. For most hams, whether used outdoors or in, the half-inch class cable that actually does everything with distinction, ticking all of the boxes along the way, is Davis RF's Berryflex, a versatile LMR 400 class cable. Davis RF, website davisrf.com, a big industry maker and distributor founded by and staffed by hams. The founder, Steve Davis, K1PEK, is a veteran cable design guru who has made his products and those of other top-tier makers available at hard-to-beat prices. Bonus, Davis RF answers its phones. Berryflex, 0.405 inch LMR 400 equivalent, super flexible, rated for direct burial and great for rotator loops, for about a dollar a foot, depending on quantity and vendor. Whether Arctic, desert, or swamp, lay it on the ground or trench it directly into the ground or even under the swamp. It's all the same for Berryflex, which also uses standard connectors of every flavor. You can buy Davis cables directly from Davis or from a variety of authorized resellers, many of which you already know about or do business with. Buying direct might garner a lower price per foot, but resellers often have better shipping rates and occasional sales, so be sure to factor that in your decision. Caveat notice. Cables that claim to be LMR 400 equivalent a de facto standard based on the performance and specs of LMR 400, which is only manufactured by Times Microwave, by the way, can truly be equivalent in every way, but you probably won't know if they are, or even exactly how to determine whether they are. An LMR 400 equivalent, for example, might have similar RF performance, but the jacket material might be inferior, reducing the longevity of the cable, even though at the start, the performance is indeed equivalent. Many alleged equivalents are made in China, where quality, assembly, testing, materials, etc., and now potential tariffs, run the gamut from horrible to fantastic, sometimes from batch to batch. Chinese manufacturers make top-tier components and finished products, from lunchboxes to lunar landers, but we don't have any practical way to evaluate a spool, batch, pallet, or shipping container full of whatever Chinese-made cable we might be sourcing. The same goes for Italian-made coax, which might be excellent, or it might not. An image on this page shows different coax cable connectors and tools for attaching the connectors. The caption reads, "With these affordable tools, compression connectors, lower right, and adapters, lower left, inexpensive RG6 cable TV coax can become just about any RF or audio cable you might need for your shack or your antenna farm. The compression tool, upper left, costs about $15 online. The cable prep tool, center right, costs between $8 and $12. Complete starter kits are available for about $20. See text, NT0Z photo." As versatile as it is, $1 a foot before shipping and tax isn't casual for every buyer, and scroungers and value-conscious shoppers such as myself are still left wondering whether there is a coaxial cable out there that has similar performance specs but costs from free to 20 cents a foot and is available everywhere, even at local stores at 2 a.m. As it turns out, that cable is RG6 satellite and cable TV coax, and its bigger brother, RG11, which isn't available at most local stores but is a shockingly high performer. But isn't RG6 a 75-ohm cable, you might wonder? Why, yes, it is. You may have heard that 75-ohm cables can't directly be used with ham antennas because the impedance mismatch will mess things up. It won't. That losses are higher. In fact, they're almost always lower. Or that standard connectors aren't available. They are. Sadly, newcomers believe these misconceptions and often carry them forward. RG6 does have a characteristic impedance of 75 ohms, but despite what you may have been told, it doesn't matter at all, save for a couple of specialty applications you will likely never encounter. In fact, the benefits of RG6 often dramatically outweigh the drawbacks. For the RF feed lines used for almost every ham, 75 ohms is close enough to 50 ohms for just about any purpose, and many 50-ohm antennas are actually closer to 75 ohms in reality. Your rig or SWL receiver won't care, and neither should you, unless you have very long runs of 75-ohm CATV hardline and are running 1,500 watts. You don't need 50 to 75-ohm low-loss, high-power transformers on each end of the run. I was initially reluctant to give RG6 a try, but it's been some 30 years since I took the plunge, and my antenna systems have done well ever since, even in Minnesota's harsh and variable climate. RG6 is easy to use, flexible, and affordable, and it works great for ham, SWL, and scanner applications, and for long audio runs, too. There are two images on this page. The first shows a close-up view of the prepared end of a piece of coax with the braid and insulation removed. The caption reads, "With most 75-ohm CATV coax, RG11 shown here, you must respect the fact that the center conductor has a steel core. I ground the copper off the tip with a small rotary tool to illustrate. See text in T0Z photo." The other image shows a close-up view of a label. The caption reads, "As shown on the label for this box of RG6 CATV coax, the 18 CCS indicates that the center conductor is 18-gauge copper-coated steel. This is sometimes an issue on 160 meters. See text in T0Z photo." The secrets of RG6. Before we dig in, let's remember that this month's column doesn't address every coaxial cable and connector issue known to hams. I have to leave something for future columns and phone book-sized tomes. This column is built around the practical use of RG6 and RG11 as an affordable, practical, and high-performance, yes, cable option, and how to attach a variety of connectors to it. Some of these connector techniques will be old hat, and some might even be a bit disturbing, but they all work just fine. As detailed above, and if you have the cash on hand, performance-wise, you really can't go wrong with beefy, high-quality 50-ohm RF cable made by name-brand makers. But there's a huge amount of knockoff, counterfeit, and just plain junky 50-ohm RF cable in the marketplace, and that stuff will steal your radio dreams. Avoid it at all costs. To save money, headaches, and frustration while still having a proven solution, consider RG6 and RG11. For most ham applications below 2 meters, 75-ohm RG6 satellite cable works just as well or better than many ham cables and has many additional advantages. And if you want to score a real knockout punch, RG6's big brother, RG11, noticeably outperforms half-inch 50-ohm cables when it comes to loss. It's not as flexible, and the jacket may or may not be as durable, but when it comes to performance and cost, it's a winner. If you compare the number of people who watch TV with the number of ham operators, you'll understand why RG6 is produced in huge quantities and how that contributes significantly to its affordability. A 1,000-foot spool of 50-ohm Davis RF Berryflex costs about $900, $1,500 for the extra-flexible LMR times microwave version, while a similar spool of 75-ohm Belden RG6 costs about $200. And that's a top-tier cable sold by an expensive commercial jobber. A 500-foot spool of still as good as RG8 from Home Depot costs $70. That's bizarre, especially considering that RG6 offers similar or better RF performance. Because it's used in cable TV and satellite systems, RG6 is reasonably low loss up to 900 MHz. While low-cost 50-ohm cables often perform miserably at frequencies above 14 MHz. Inexpensive 50-ohm coax, on the other hand, often has a skimpy, RF-leaky 65% braided outer shield, while RG6 is at least double-shielded, having a continuous aluminum foil shield and an outer woven braid, with quad-shielded versions readily available. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.